Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Mr. Connor Campbell, a financial analyst for Spreadex, a man who's just come back from vacation. Connor, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Right, so we've got five slides. Without further ado, let's have a quick whiz through. Let's kick off with the first one, the FTSE 100. Onward, upward, looking at 7,000.
I know, we're back, sort of back where we were a few weeks ago. You know, it looked like it was just going down, down, down. It looked like it settled at 6,800, really. But then, you know, you've had sort of that triple whammy of PMI figures in the last few trading sessions. Whilst most of the, sort of the positive juice from that has been taken up by the pound, the FTSE still has, especially on Friday with the construction figure, still has received, you know, runoff goodwill from those strong readings. So, you know, you've got it pushing back up to 6,900. The difference this time is, in the past few weeks, when it's been pushing those highs, our clients have pretty much been selling it at the moment it's been hitting those levels. This time around, however, they're much more receptive to it being that high. Yesterday it was a bit more mixed. We saw as it was at 6,900, there were a few sellers. However, since it crept a bit away from it this morning, we've seen a lot of buyers trying to push it back up to that level. You know, when it got 6,875 around there, we're seeing heavy waves of buyers trying to push it back to those 6,900 levels. Whether that can push it on to 7,000, I'm not completely sure.
Okay. So good two-way price action.
Yeah, no, and it's been a notable, you know, I haven't been here for a fortnight, there's been a notable shift in sentiment from our clients, at least, in terms of being more receptive, like I said, to the FTSE being this high, where a few weeks ago, I think they were still a bit skeptical, really, about where it was climbing to.
Understood. So let's move swiftly on to the second slide. Spot Great British Pound, not sure that it's so great at the moment, against the euro dollar. What a punter's zilch, what a client.
Well, you can see where, you know, the pound's really benefited from these PMI figures in the last few days. You know, the services and manufacturing figures especially were really, you know, a shock in how strong they were. Yeah. I think, you know, all-time record jumps month on month, I think, for the services PMI, and I think 25-year high for the manufacturing PMI. That's far better than people were expecting this month, far better than I think people were expecting in general, you know, 2 or 3 months after the referendum. You know, going forward, whether that sticks and whether the situation is going to be that strong, who knows. For now, however, the pound's really benefiting from those strong figures. Interestingly, this week, you've also got the ECB meeting.
Thursday, yep.
I think the central bank expected to, if not bolster its stimulus package, at least extend it beyond, I think, the initial March 2017, you know, sort of end date. That could do some more damage to the euro. That could, you know, push the pound back to that 1.2 mark and try and cement it around there. However, I think it does depend on what tone the ECB strikes. Investors are very keen to scrutinise those comments by Draghi and to try and ascertain whether or not the central bank actually has any more tools in its, you know, tool belt, really, to try and stimulate growth, stimulate inflation, and push the euro lower. It doesn't take a lot for the euro to decide that, oh, the ECB hasn't really got anything left in its arsenal, and that could help the euro recover a bit this week. However, our clients, they were buying very strongly yesterday, obviously, in light of those services figures. It slowed down a bit this morning, but they're still buying around that 1.19 mark for the pound, so it could be looking at 1.2 at some point this week.
Understood. OK, so let's move on to the third slide, Barratt Developments.
Obviously, housing sector, market-wise, still not great. Post-Brexit, you had Berkeley Group booted out of the FTSE in the latest reshuffle. You know, that'll take effect later in the month. However, you know, you can see from the chart, from those lows, Barratt has seen a fairly, you know, healthy recovery. It's stalled a bit around the £5 mark. It's reporting this week. I think it'll be looking to build on that £5 mark and get maybe another leg up. The thing is, it sort of played its hand, really, with this coming trading update. It's already said that pre-tax profit should be around 20% higher to £680 million. It's already sort of confirmed that trading hasn't been too adversely affected by the Brexit. So there isn't much new news it can reveal, really, this week. I think if it confirms that the housing market stabilised post-Brexit, which Berkeley said this morning, and that's given both Berkeley and Barratt a bit of a leg up this morning, I think it could creep a bit higher than £5. How much higher, I'm not sure. Our clients buying around the £5 mark, I think they're happy with the sort of the recovery going forwards and happy in general with Barratt's full-year figures. As long as it hits that £680 mark or higher, I think it's going to
understood. And for what it's worth, if you don't look at your technicals, massive chart level around this £5 area based on the gap being filled. Right, let's move on to the full slide. Sports Direct International. Now, they keep being in the headlines for the
wrong
reasons.
Yeah, it's been a horrible year. I think you've had, in the last 12 months, the big scandal over their working conditions, a post-Christmas profit warning, Mike Ashley in front of MPs, and then to cap it off, the Brexit. So also, I think it's more than halved in the last 12 months. Yeah. You also had pretty awful full-year figures. I think the week after the Brexit, I think pre-tax profit fell 8.4%. Not great. However, it's had a slight recovery in the last few weeks because it announced a £19 million share buyback. You could argue that's, you know, sort of a Hail Mary by the company to try and lift it off its lows. This week it's its AGM on Wednesday. Investors seem to be baying for blood a bit. They're not happy with the working conditions, which has led to Sports Direct this morning announcing they were ditching zero contract hours, which has given the stock a bit of a boost. Don't think it'll be enough to soothe investors going into the AGM. They're also not happy with the level of corporate governance. They're especially not happy with Keith Hellawell, who is their chairman, who's got, you know, backing of Ashley. I think changes by the FCA to voting around the chairman, you know, Ashley owns 55% of the company, so he has the majority. I think they've changed the rules over if someone is if a single majority holder, they don't have full sway now. So a lot of majority shareholders beyond Ashley have come out saying they're going to vote against Hellawell's reappointment. So there should be fireworks on Wednesday. I think investors will also be looking for some kind of update from a Sports Direct just in terms of trading. I think most of the news is going to be based on what happens, whether Hellawell is reappointed or not. It'll be interesting to see what that causes stock-wise. As I said, investors reacted well to the news that they were getting rid of zero contract hours. I think they're looking for something, some kind of stronger leadership and a movement away from sort of a controversy-laden style of operating, basically. And the move away from zero contract hours suggests that they are looking to try and legitimise their business a bit more away from sort of the scummy viewpoint I think people have of the company, really. From our client's perspective, I think they're sort of happy with the company at the moment. They've been buying around the 330 mark. It's crept a bit higher this morning, so I think they're looking for it maybe to hit the 350 mark in light of the AGM on Wednesday.
Understood. Let's wrap up with the last slide. Dixon's Carphone, the rolling contract, again, a sort of key chart point up at this level. What are your clients doing here?
Well, CEO Seb James came out after the Brexit, you know, wiped off a huge amount of value from the company, saying that he was confident in Dixon's ability to deal with stress. He pointed to the fact that they dealt with the Grexit issue fairly well. Dixon's has, you know, a fairly big presence in Greece, and it dealt with that well. I think full-year figures, pre-tax profit were up 17% to £447 million. And like-for-like sales in the UK were up 6%. So his figures are very strong. It received, obviously, that knee-jerk drag downwards from the Brexit, but since then it's crept back near to the levels it was just before the referendum.
A massive underperformer.
I think so, yeah. You know, I think it'll be eyeing this £4 mark this week. It's first quarter figures. I think UK sales are expected to jump 2%. Overall sales are expected to jump 1%. If it can match those sales with the comment saying that the Brexit hasn't affected trading, I think you could see it hitting that £4 mark. From our client's perspective, again, like the other two stocks, they're buying around the 3.75 mark. I think they're looking for these stocks that have been massively hit post-Brexit to, you know, creep back to the levels they were just about striking before the referendum happened.
Understood. Conor Campbell, we've run out of time. Financial analyst for Spreadex, thank you, as always, for taking time out for the Tip TV audience, and we'll see you same time next week. Right, let's take a very quick break, and then we're going to welcome back Mr. Wilson Lung, a director of Trendsetter FX, and he's known at Tip TV as Mr. Dollar Yen. Straight back after the break. Thank you.